I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
What do you people want anyway? That's the way to start a show on a Monday. It's Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio on Sirius XM, Channel 80. Chris Carlin, Joe Fortenbaugh. Welcome to Monday, Joseph.
Peek behind the curtain for all the listeners out there. Carlin in Detroit for the draft. Fortenbaugh in Detroit for the draft. Yes, we did see each other momentarily. We spoke purely business, and then we moved on like two ships passing in the night. Barely got a chance to interact with the big man.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed at that, but we do what we can. And I was thinking of you Saturday night after the draft. Made my way downstairs to the non-smoking section. And
they have one of those?
They did downstairs. And, you know, sat at the table, got on a little heater for a bit. And,
hello.
And then that fell apart.
What was our game of choice?
A little blackjack.
There we go.
A little blackjack.
Old, reliable.
It was myself and two others who will remain nameless at the moment.
Ian Fitzsimmons and who else?
Mike Tannenbaum.
Yeah, there we go.
But we had a good time. We did have one of those guys at the table for a little bit. Always one of those guys.
Yeah.
And we were about set to move on from the situation, and we did, to a different table.
I'm surprised with all that star power you guys couldn't generate your own table of action in a private situation, but that's neither here nor there at the moment. Glad you guys had a good time. Glad we all got back safely. Not a whole lot to talk about today, unfortunately.
No, really nothing. No. It's a quiet day here in late April, and if you want, we could start talking about OTAs.
Yeah.
We could probably lay off that for the moment, though. We are presented by our good friends at Progressive Insurance. And Joseph, let's just start here. The Sixers are down 3-1 to the Knicks. They have been outplayed thoroughly in this series by the Knicks. A lot of it has been about effort, but I'll tell you what, a lot of it yesterday was about horrible execution down the stretch of the game by the Sixers, who looked completely lost offensively in the last 6-7 minutes of that game. And frankly, there is a lot of consternation that's about to start to happen about the future of Joel Embiid.
Yes, because it's the most overrated franchise in the NBA of the last decade. And you can go through every team to try to find a way to say, nah, that's just hyperbole. It's not. It's not. We're led to believe on a consistent basis that this is a championship caliber team. And there's always a reason why they come nowhere near the championship rounds. Every single year it's an issue. It's either a personnel issue, Markelle Fultz, Ben Simmons. It's either a injury issue, Joel Embiid. Sometimes they're just not good enough. Sometimes it's a coaching issue. Sometimes it just doesn't go their way. Like game 7 against Kawhi Leonard when that three-pointer doinked its way in at the end. The team isn't tough enough. And they're in a series against the toughest team in the NBA, and they're getting their faces kicked in. That's the bottom line here. You can slice this any way you want. They're not tough enough. They're not mentally tough enough. We're seeing it in late game execution. They're not physically tough enough. We're seeing it on the offensive and defensive glass. Those are facts. This team can't close. They couldn't close the Raptors. They couldn't close the Hawks. They couldn't close the Celtics last year. They can't close, and they're showing you once again they are not built for the big stage and the bright lights.
I was thinking about the old John McKay line when they were asked about the Sixers' execution down the stretch, and I wouldn't have been surprised if Nick Nurse would have said, I'd be in favor of it. I'd be in favor of their execution at this point. The way that all went down, it was so disappointing. And then you had the fans factor and Joel Embiid after the game. And this is really going to lead to the biggest question, right? Here is Joel Embiid reacting to a question regarding the amount of Knicks fans that were in the building in Philadelphia, because, boy, that did feel like Madison Square Garden South for a bit.
Disappointing. You know, I love our fans. Think it's unfortunate. And I'm not calling them out, but it is disappointing. Obviously, you got a lot of Knicks fans and they're down the road and never seen it. And I've been here for 10 years. kind of pisses me off, especially because Philly is considered a sports town. So, you know, they've always shown up, and I don't think that should happen. It's not okay.
Listen, he didn't tell any lies there, but there are a lot of fans this morning in Philadelphia who were ticked off at Joel Embiid, and I guess I would just ask him this. Be careful. Be careful. If you're ready to move on from Joel Embiid, I want a solution. And Joe, otherwise, he is still an incredible talent that you need to be careful of moving on from.
I am from Allentown, Pennsylvania. I'm in my early 40s. I have been a Philadelphia sports fan my entire life. I watched what happened yesterday with the Knicks fans taking over Wells Fargo, and I'm born and raised to hate the Knicks. I wish I was a Knicks fan. That looked awesome yesterday. To walk into somebody else's house and make that much noise and disrupt the game to that extent, and then basically to Baker Mayfield plant your flag right there after
That's
the game
happened,
and
yeah.
celebrate and have a good time, you earned it. You absolutely earned it. You traveled with your team. You support your team. I love this fan base right now. I know we talked about after game one against Philly, they're outside the Garden yelling and screaming, "We want Boston." I like that mentality because that's the mentality of the team. Toughness. We'll go anywhere and play anyone, anytime. That's how the Knicks think. And you know what? Maybe it doesn't end in a championship, just like it won't for 29 other teams. But they come to play. They will not quit. They do not give up. They got a bona fide star in Jalen Brunson, who was incredible yesterday. And the fans going down there to support them, I love that. If you're in Philadelphia and you don't like it, too bad. Because I've seen plenty of moments where Eagles fans have taken over MetLife Stadium and run the Giant fans out of there. We've seen that happen. That's the beautiful thing about this rivalry between these two cities. As it pertains to Embiid, this is the bigger conversation we need to have. What direction are we going to go this offseason? Do you keep him? Because he's 31 years old or is going to be 31 years old. He's played 54% of a possible 801 regular season games in his career. 54%. That's how injured he's been throughout his career. They've never made it past the second round of the playoffs. They're not making it past the first round of the playoffs this year. How many years left do you have of Joel Embiid at a high MVP caliber level? Because that's the question you need to answer. And do you want to build around that and try to make one last push in that small window? Or do you want to try to get maximum return on that investment this offseason and start anew? Big question. How many years do you think are left for Embiid?
Well, I think he's probably got 3 or 4 left at a high level. He did go out and throw 50 on the board the other night.
Oh, yeah.
But do you think it's time to move on from him?
I think it's time to have that conversation for sure. I think it's time to sit there and say we have two courses of action. Course of action number one, we're going to get rid of Tobias Harris finally this offseason. Tobias, if you need help packing your stuff and getting out of town, I'm there. I'll do it for free.
Oh, dear God.
That's how quickly we want you out of this town. Any help you need getting out of Philadelphia, we will help you do that. You don't even play defense anymore, so what good are you out there? Once that contract opens up, you could pair up Embiid and Maxey with another star if you can land another star. So there's a reason to believe, look, we got one last chance here. And that's what the organization's going to think because the organization is all about self-preservation. The head coach, the coaching staff, the front office, they're going to want to win and compete now because their jobs are on the line. They're thinking about themselves, not the organization. That's how it works. So on one side, I can see you maximizing that. On the other side, you could say, look, this guy, the injuries aren't going to go away. He's close to 300 pounds. There isn't a whole lot left here. Maybe we maximize the return on investment and try to get this thing going faster rather than dealing with it now rather than later. That's what I'd be thinking. I would be leaning more into that camp because you've had 10 years, Carlin. Yeah. You've had 10 years of this guy and you haven't made it right. That's the second round of the playoffs.
Well, here's the problem. I want to know what the solution is if you're ready to move on from him. Because my feeling on this is exactly what you illustrated there at the beginning. You're getting rid of Tobias Harris. You have a massive, massive hole in that salary cap to use. And with that being the case, there are going to be players lining up. Remember, and we have been hitting on this quite a bit, Woj has called this coming offseason the NBA transfer portal.
Facts.
There are going to be teams that are, or rather, teams and players that are looking to change things up, and especially players who are going to be looking for new scenery. How many players do you think will be lining up to play with Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey? I think there will be a lot. I think there will be a lot. And my job right now, and it may not feel like the right thing to do today, While Joel's comments were ill-advised yesterday, keep that to yourself. Tell somebody later on when you're frustrated and you're thinking about going somewhere else. I'd say to the Sixers and I'd say to Joel, what are we doing here? Because if you think it is definitively a situation where the grass is greener on the other side, tell me where that is. Joel going to the Knicks? That'd be phenomenal for him. I don't know that that's definitely happening. And if I can convince somebody that I really think is a high-level player to come here and play with me, and on the flip-flop, if I'm the Sixers and I think it's ready to time to move on, be careful, because if you can bring that player in to play with Joel Embiid, you got a real shot. And I didn't think that the Sixers, I think they had a chance to beat the Celtics. I'm disappointed what's happened, but I also understand why it's happened. And, you know, Joel falling apart in the fourth quarter, Joe, what do I expect when a guy on one leg is playing 44 minutes?
It's the banana in the tailpipe. Anyone who thought the Sixers were going to do anything of consequence in this playoff hasn't been watching the Sixers for the last decade. They never do anything of consequence. They were never a threat to the Celtics, and you're seeing that right now. They're not going to get within 400 miles of the Celtics.
And would you agree teams will be lining up for Embiid if they do want to move
on? Yeah, if they want to move on, there's going to be a very robust market for Philadelphia, no doubt.
Carlin versus Joe presented by Progressive Insurance. And now a list of things from Progressive Insurance. Home, auto, boat, motorcycle, RV, ATV. Progressive protects them all. Learn more about bundling at progressive.com. We are just getting underway on a ridiculously packed show today. Couldn't be more excited about it. The Sixers have at least one more game to try to salvage their future. The same cannot be said for another triumvirate in the NBA that had title aspirations. Carlin versus Joe, just getting rolling on ESPN Radio, including on TuneIn.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Carlin versus Joe. Pizza money alert.
Pizza, pizza.
Let's go to the ice. Big one tonight between the Panthers and the Lightning in the great state of Florida. We're going to play Panthers on the puck line, which means we've got to win by two or more goals, priced handsomely at plus 140. Here's the logic. Panthers were up 3-0 in the series. Congratulations to Tampa Bay. They avoid the sweep with a nice 6-3 win in game four. So now the series shifts back to a more southern point in Florida, shall we say. I think this is where Florida comes out, you know what, blazing in this matchup. They're going to bring down the curtain. They've been the better team throughout the course of the series. I like the pricing on this matchup. And always keep this in mind. A team that is facing elimination, if they're trailing late in the third period, they will yank that goaltender a lot earlier than normal. So you could get the empty net with 3-4 minutes to go, giving us an opportunity to cover that puck line goal. So that's where we stand. First pizza money, and we've got a bunch coming your way today. Panthers, puck line -1.5 at a price of plus 140 over the Tampa Bay Lightning.
And don't forget, it's a doubleheader on ESPN tonight. Tampa Bay, Florida. Of course, Florida up 3-1. That game at 7 p.m. on ESPN. And then Dallas and Vegas, the late game. The Golden Knights up 2-1 on the Stars. Big doubleheader tonight on ESPN.
Timberwolves win it 122-116. They complete the four-game sweep of the Phoenix Suns.
Everybody would say, you know, these are the time that the details matter, and it's something that, you know, we kind of passed by and didn't think was a big deal, but came back and bit us in.
It's hard to pinpoint just one thing right now. When you reflect back on the season, I think that we just were inconsistent with our play. Guys will dig deep this summer, work on what they need to work on individually, come back and try to make some adjustments so we can not go through this again.
Yeah, frankly, it's not that hard to pinpoint what went wrong. That was a genuinely disinterested team in playing defense for most of the year. And frankly, at times looked completely disinterested across the board. Not hard to figure out. Really not. We have talked about this for literally 2.5 to 3 months. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. The Suns get swept by Minnesota. Honestly, Kevin Durant's a great player. Devin Booker's a great player. Bradley Beal's a very good player. There were other pieces in place to do more than this. There truly were. But I think this sound from Devin Booker really says it all about this situation. And frankly, something that was said at the time of the Durant trade, Joe.
Yeah, roster-wise, you know, everybody talks about the firepower, but, you know, you look around the league, it comes down to the details. I don't want to keep saying that, but it's a super important thing. You can't just go out there and think you're going to win off talent. You know, the game is more complicated than that.
I mean, didn't it feel to you like you had a team that just was absolutely relying on that 100%?
Yeah, this was a great matchup because on Minnesota's side, you have a team. You have the very essence and very definition of a team. And that team had a great regular season, and they came into the playoffs ready to kick it in the high gear. And they did exactly that. They showed toughness. They showed togetherness. They did everything they needed to do start to finish to close that series out. That is as impressive as it gets, ladies and gentlemen. And don't forget that when this show was telling you about Minnesota at 25-1, that's long gone. Now 9-1 to win the title. But to your question about Phoenix, on the other side, Minnesota, you've got a team. In Phoenix, you've got a collection of talent. That's all it is. It's not a team. It's a group of guys, some of which have extraordinary talent, but they never found a way to bring it together. They don't have great bench minutes. They don't have great defense. They don't work all that particularly well together. They're the worst fourth quarter team in the NBA. There are problems galore. They can sell jerseys. They can sell excitement. They are not a team. And when you get to the postseason and you run up against a true team like Minnesota, that's what's going to end up happening. I'm kicking myself in the rear end for buying all that Phoenix talk leading into this series about how, hey, did you know Phoenix is a really bad matchup for Minnesota? Didn't look like it to me. Huge mistake on behalf of one Joseph Harrison Fortenball IV.
Well, it's not your fault. And you know who else's fault it's not? Frank Vogel. Huh. It's not Frank Vogel's fault. But apparently, you listen to Woj, and when you listen to Woj, it's fact. It sounds like he's the one who's going to get blamed.
When you have this kind of a payroll, these kinds of expectations,
right,
you've got to not only show more in the first round, you've got to get out of the first round. Losing in six last year to Denver in the second round cost Monty Williams his job. You've seen Matt Ishbia, the owner. He has made rapid change in his short tenure as owner. Frank Vogel's job very much may be in jeopardy now.
Be careful here, Tepper. Did I almost say Tepper? I almost did.
It's
Monday.
Why? It's Monday.
Because that's Matt Ishbia in the NBA.
Oh, here we go.
I mean, well, not in terms of, you know, going to a restaurant and yelling at a guy for whatever he did.
Took his hat
at
off.
The restaurant last week.
Took his hat off. Took a hat off another man.
Wow.
Now, if that guy throws a blow, are we upset at that guy for throwing a blow?
It's kind of a disrespectful move to take a hat off, isn't it?
If I take a hat off your head and you throw a punch at me, how many people are going to side with me when I go crying? A lot, because we live in the year 2024 and a lot of people would be siding with me. They should not be siding with me. That right there, You don't go take a hat off another man's head. What do you think you're doing?
Well, in terms of being reactionary, this is exactly what Matt Ishbia has become. So we're firing Frank Vogel after 1 year, gave him $30 million over five.
Oh, God, after that's we such fired, a great deal.
After I'm begging to get a horrible contract and have you bail on me so quickly. I really am begging on that to happen.
That is
I had it happen to me once when they bailed on me, but the contract wasn't nearly good enough.
Yeah, not nearly lucrative enough. Probably had some offsets in there as well in case you took a job somewhere else.
Exactly.
But yeah, I mean,
next thing you know, I'm signing a separation agreement. Like, what are we doing?
I'd love nothing more than get fired in the NBA.
Oh, it would be amazing.
Like, what a dream. We are inspiring a new generation of children that want nothing more than to get fired as either NBA or college football head coaches.
Exactly.
That's the dream, ladies and gentlemen, to get fired as a college football head coach.
Honestly, I'd build a statue to Jimbo Fisher right now.
Hell
for that.
Yeah.
I absolutely would. But the point here is that, like, if that is what Matt Ishbia genuinely believes is the problem, then what the hell are we doing? Honestly.
Well,
that has nothing to do with it. And we're going to go put in somebody that the players want. I mean, the last time I looked in Milwaukee, they want a Doc. I know they're banged up, but did that work out well down the stretch of the season?
No.
No, I think Matt Ishbia might be in over his head right now.
Well,
completely.
They're impatient, right? They buy a team and they want to win. And here's the thing with billionaire owners is that they look around, and I'm not going to say the country, I'm going to say the world, because this is an important distinction. They look around the world and they see that championships can be bought, but they don't necessarily understand that the format doesn't translate. Here's what I'm getting at. Look at the English Premier League. You go back to the 90s, what the EPL was versus ownership now, it's very, very different. A lot of Saudi oil money has come in. A lot of Middle Eastern money has come in to buy some of these teams. And what they do is they come in, they buy the team, they upgrade the facilities, they spend ungodly amounts of money on elite talent, and then they go out and win an EPL title, right? So everyone says, well, they can do it. Remember something. The English Premier League, it doesn't have playoffs. You can't get eliminated. It's a season. Like the Dodgers in baseball, winning regular seasons but never winning championships. You go out there and over the course of the season, all of that talent will stack a bunch of wins and will deliver a championship. But that doesn't necessarily translate to the playoffs. See baseball. The Dodgers rarely go as far as the talent should. Then teams like the Diamondbacks come out of nowhere and go on runs. Baseball's playoffs are about the hottest team, not the most talented team. In the NBA, you see these owners coming in. Oh, we'll bring in Bradley Beal. We'll give up the assets. We will buy a championship now. It doesn't work. Look at the championship teams of the last 10 years. They are assembled through a grueling process that takes time. You cannot buy championships in the NBA. Owners, when they eventually figure that out, are going to have a lot more success. Ishbia stepping in thinking he could just buy this thing. It's been a... Carlin, they won as many playoff games this year as the Wizards.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. That's who you are. Phoenix and the Wizards, same amount of playoff wins this year.
If I'm Matt Ishbia, I would very quickly admit to this massive mistake. I would try to get out of the Durant situation and ship him somewhere else. And I don't necessarily believe that Durant would be against that. And I know he's got a no trade. Let me see if I can work something out to send Beal somewhere where somebody wants him. And I'd start rebuilding again around Booker. I get some of the picks back that I traded away in the Durant thing. And just the best thing you can do, Joe, as a grid leader, is admit to a mistake very quickly and move on.
Yeah.
It's the best thing you can
do. Don't let one mistake turn into a second mistake, turn into a third mistake. Identify the mistake. Identify what went wrong. Fix it. Fix it as fast as you can.
The one move that still has NFL teams wondering, what happened? That's after Joe has this from Grainger.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry out there, as well as the access to product specialists who have both the knowledge and the experience to answer all of your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe, but more importantly, keep your people even safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple.
Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Enough is enough! I have had it with these takes on this plane! Everybody strap in!
This plane is headed down the runway and ready for the NFL takeoff.
That's right, baby! NFL draft this weekend. We've got the takeoff from the draft. Carlin vs. Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. Smart speakers, play ESPN Radio. Joseph, eventful weekend in the NFL with the draft. Eventful. Let us give our best weekends. In other words, what team had the best draft and what team had the worst draft for each one of us. You lead things off with the team that you feel had the best draft.
I don't think I need to try to split the atom here. The best draft belongs to the Chicago Bears. Some people will say, here we go, just because of the two top 10 picks. Yeah, two transcendent playmakers. Caleb Williams coming in as the franchise quarterback. Rome Odunze coming in as another wide receiver to join alongside Keelan Allen and DJ Moore. It's not just about what you saw the first night of the draft. It's the culmination of all the smart decision-making Chicago has made over the last few years. As of right now, here is an update on that trade between the Bears and the Panthers that got the Panthers Bryce Young last year, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the Panthers come away with one asset, one, Bryce Young, pick number one from last year's draft. From that trade, the Bears came away with wide receiver DJ Moore, 2023 first-round pick offensive tackle Darnell Wright, 2023 second-round pick quarterback Tyreek Stevenson, Caleb Williams, and a 2025 second-round pick. Think about that haul. Then add in Rome Odunze, which was the Bears' pick at number 9. They are moving in the right direction. Chicago, we applaud you. You are building this thing up the right way. You're moving in the right direction. You have all the reason to be excited about the 2024 campaign.
Agreed. They had an excellent, excellent weekend. I'll tell you, had the best weekend, though. And this is not a homer pick. Steelers had an amazing draft.
Well, I'm going to need some reasons as to why this isn't a homer.
Well, I'll lay it out for you. How about that? They got Troy Fontenot, who they never would have thought was going to be available at 20. And he's a guy that is a tackle and can also play guard. They need help on the offensive line. And then the second round, they got a center in Zach Frazier, who was probably the second-rated center in the entire draft. Roman Wilson from Michigan is a solid receiver. I could see him being a very good slot receiver. And then they got a guy who was probably a second round talent in Peyton Wilson that everybody got scared off by because there was some medical issue about some team saying he didn't have any ACL whatsoever. He had torn a couple ACLs against the college. Here's what else I know. He ran like a 4.39 or something ridiculous at the combine, and they got another offensive lineman that Mike Tannenbaum told me is ridiculously tough in Mason McCormick. So they got three offensive linemen, something they desperately needed was some depth there. Got a wide receiver they needed, and they got a linebacker they needed. I loved it all. I could not love it more. I wanted to marry it. That's how much I loved it. Who had the worst draft, Joe?
Real quick on the Steelers, they did an excellent job. They addressed a lot of concerns, and anytime you see the Steelers going after a wide receiver in the draft, duck and cover, because I don't know if there's a team that identifies wide receiver talent better than the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, that's a good call. Who's got the worst draft?
I mean, Atlanta. And I know Canty will get mad and Evan will get mad and all these other people are going to get mad because it's a really smart long-term plan and I can see that. But I look at Atlanta and I say to myself, you entered this draft without a problem at quarterback. You didn't have a quarterback problem. So why you felt the need to use the 8th pick to address what wasn't a problem, I find that to be misguided. I think it's a misallocation of your resources. I think you're the best team in the NFC South. I think you should be doing everything you can to bolster your chances of winning right now. You didn't go to the playoffs last year, but when you signed Cousins, you did open up a competitive window. Is it a Super Bowl window? Perhaps. I mean, you gave him 4 years, $180 million. You wouldn't do that if you didn't think the guy was capable of getting to a Super Bowl. You've got a top five red zone defense from last year. You've got weapons across the board on offense. Use the top 10 pick on a guy that can come in and help you now. Too often we see in the playoffs games that are decided in the margins. One or two key things that one team can do that another team can't. Buffalo misses the big field goal against the Chiefs. The Niners, inexplicably in overtime, decide to take the ball rather than defer. All right? All across the board, this happens all the time. You have to look to maximize your chances. Every 2%, every 4% you can grab could be the difference. And Atlanta passed on that. For a quarterback that they might play in 4 years, like, they're openly telling you he might sit 3 to 4 years. Good luck. Because you know what? Coaching staffs and front offices, they last that long all the time. All the time. There's a chance this coaching staff and front office isn't even around when Penix makes his first start.
Oh, my God.
I mean, according to their plan, if they're going to sit him 3 years, there's a chance this could go so haywire, all these guys are gone before you even get there.
Can we also point out the fact that he's 24 years old already?
Yeah. I hate this Penix-Jordan Love comparison. It is so misguided. Rodgers and Cousins are not in the same spot. The Packers and the Falcons are not in the same spot. Penix and Love are not in the same spot. There's virtually nothing about those two situations that's relatable.
I got to tell you, I don't know what the Cowboys are doing. I really don't. Tyler Guyton in the first round, it's an okay pick. It's an okay pick at best. But, like, there's a lot of work there to be done for him to be a dominant offensive lineman. Like, there's a lot for him to work on, especially physically. Marshawn Neyland in the second round is a pass rusher from Western Michigan. You know, well-regarded, but nowhere near where they need to be going. Cooper Beebe probably is their best pick in the third round, the guard from Kansas State. And if your best pick is a third-round pick, that's not good. The Cowboys are just absolutely lost. And you know what else they didn't do? They didn't draft a running back. They didn't draft a running back all weekend. And instead, let's run it back with Ezekiel Elliott.
Great move.
Who, on average, over the last 4 years, put the last 4 years together, he's averaging less than 4 yards a carry.
It's good value play.
Oh, my God.
It didn't cost anywhere near the last big contract he got, which was that was with the Cowboys, too.
Yeah. Oh, that screwed him up the first time by completely burying their entire salary cap. And by the way, they still have three major contracts that are unresolved. What are you doing?
I got so much on this. Can we talk more about this?
Oh, we can talk more about this.
Oh, I got so much on this.
I tell you what, it's not that we can, we're gonna.
Oh, okay.
That's what we're gonna do. It's Carlin versus Joe next on ESPN Radio. I didn't mean that to sound like I just decided it on my own, but in fact, we had decided that before the show and just made it sound as if it was spontaneous.
I was trying to make it sound spontaneous. Now the cat is officially out of the bag. Yes, this is a scripted show.
Joe, I'm an open book. People should know what's going on. That's all. Speaking of the Cowboys.
Imagine Chris Angel getting up on stage being like, new policy tonight, everyone. I want everyone to know how all this works. How do you think everyone would feel leaving that magic show?
I'll tell you what, I would go to that magic show because I want to know how all the magic works. I don't need to be any more astonished in my life.
I would too. But I think we'd all come out feeling less mesmerized than we would have had we just gone to see the traditional version of the show.
I think mesmerization is overrated. I always have. It's been a constant mantra of mine. Jerry seems like he's already focused on the trade deadline, and we're actually not joking about that. So more on these Cowboys. We'll explain it next on ESPN Radio.
Feeling like you need a marketing degree and an extra day in your week to successfully market your small business? Let Constant Contact do the heavy lifting for you. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has powerful tools that make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more to boost your business. Now, in just a few clicks, you can launch a marketing campaign that's tailored to your business and goals. That includes email, social, SMS, and more. So you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track your business growth. Plus, you can always count on Constant Contact's award-winning customer support for guidance along the way. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact. helping the small stand tall.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
I've seen teams win the Super Bowl with running backs that they traded for in midseason. So the point is that this thing's a long way from being over as to how you're going to line up against X next fall.
Hang on. Back up, Cowboy. Hang on. I thought we were all in on what we got. All in on what we got. I thought I was going to get a heavy dose of Deuce Vaughn. I was promised that so that I could already draft him in my fantasy draft. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. We're already talking about the trade deadline right now. That is, honestly, that is the lament of losers. This isn't over yet. This isn't over yet. This isn't over yet. I know we haven't done a damn thing, but this isn't over yet. I mean, come on. What are we doing?
Think of it like this. We are so far away from the actual start of the season. You already have an owner telling you, look, it's not over yet. Like, that's the type of thing you would hear from an announcer in the 10th round of a 12-round fight. Look, it's not over yet, but he's down bad on the cards. It's not over yet. We could see something. We've seen miracles before. Jerry's out there telling you it's not over yet. It's like, Jerry, it's not even May. We haven't even started. Why are you telling people it's not over yet? This reeks of a team that doesn't want to let you know they're about to reboot everything, but is about to reboot everything. Because I know there's all the words that we're constantly trying to decipher from all of Jerry and Steven's press conferences, but let's just look at the actions. They're not doing anything, Carlin. They're not signing their own guys. They're not bringing anybody in. They're not really drafting anybody. They're not doing anything. Like, they're doing nothing.
Really? Nothing. And you know what I'm starting to believe? I'll make this correlation to what the New York Yankees have become over the last several years, because I think there's kind of a parallel stretch here. The Yankees have become less about winning a championship and more about, let's assemble a team that's going to win the most games that we can in the regular season, and then let the chips fall where they may. It's almost as if they have resigned themselves to the fact that the postseason is a crapshoot in baseball.
Yep.
And it's not a George thing, but it kind of is, because since George has been gone, there's not that pressure from Hal or anybody else. Let's look at the Cowboys. It feels like Jerry has changed his philosophy. Yes, he's never going to hire somebody that is going to have much more of a say in what's going on than him. I'm talking to people over the weekend. Ian Fitzsimmons made this point. He always believed that he hired Bill Parcells to get Jerry World built. In other words, here, look, I'm hiring the very best of the best. And then a few years later, he could move on from him. It feels like Jerry is more focused on sticking with what he's got, because that team won 12 games last year, and then we'll see what happens in the postseason. That's kind of what it feels like, right? I mean, they did it 3 years in a row. Did they lose the postseason because the postseason's a crapshoot? I would say no.
No, they were so overwhelmed against Green Bay last year. They lost because they weren't well coached. They weren't well prepared. But that's not the first time that's happened to the Dallas Cowboys in the postseason. That's a recurring theme. They just don't identify any of their issues and fix them. No matter how strapped you are financially, no matter how many picks you're lacking, there are still moves to be made. You can still work to address your team. Kansas City is a great example of this. Like, the Chiefs don't have a lot of salary cap money available, and they don't have a lot of high draft picks. Yet they found ways to maneuver within the draft. They call Buffalo. They trade up. They get themselves a speedster at wide receiver. Boom, they address a need. Like, if you're in Kansas City, you're sitting there understanding you can't do a whole lot, but they're still making moves, right? The Rams, all these years, have been dealing away all their picks. They've been in salary cap hell, everyone says, but they keep finding ways to tweak things, to get someone else under contract, or to bring somebody in that can help make an impact. Maybe they're not winning a Super Bowl, but they are trying to get better. I think if you're a Dallas fan, that's the most alarming situation here, is that you have problems with the coaching staff, you have problems with the roster, and you're not doing anything to improve any of it. And while you're not doing anything to improve it short term, you're also not doing anything to improve it long term. What are you going to do with CeeDee Lamb? What are you going to do with Micah Parsons? Like, if you're in the division with the Eagles, you're watching him out there. Up, re-signed A.J. Brown. He's locked up for the next 3 years on the extension to his current contract. Locked up Devontae Smith. Out there wheeling and dealing left and right. 8 trades in the NFL draft, most since 1990. Like, okay, maybe you don't have to be as aggressive as the Eagles, but nothing? Like, you wake up today and you find out Ezekiel Elliott is the move?
Well, you can't get lapped in the draft, which is what happened. Like, it, at the very least, listen, I've knocked Howie Roseman before for things that he has done, but and frankly, for getting lucky on some things that he wanted to do but was unable to get done, like draft Zach Wilson. He wanted to move up to do that, and it didn't work out, and he was fortunate that it didn't. But at least he is going out there and trying to make everything happen. I hear people talk about how fortunate he is, how lucky he is. Didn't Micah Parsons say that the other day? Just how lucky they are?
Because Quinyon Mitchell fell to them.
Right, right.
Fell to them, right?
Yeah.
No one else had anything to do with that. You know, every other team that had a shot to get him.
Yeah. Go get him. If you think he's the best corner, go get him. The point is, Howie's aggressive. He wants to make things happen when he sees that it's not working. And this is just all... So have we resigned ourselves now as Jerry that we are at this point in our lives that I really can't control whether or not we're going to win a championship, but I can control how much money I'm going
to
make?
Yeah, I think that's what it is. It always comes back to the thing that it's so hard for people to reconcile. Jerry's scorecard isn't about winning the Super Bowl or what he looks like during the regular season. Jerry's scorecard is that his franchise is worth more than any other NFL franchise. He's winning. That's how guys like him keep score. When you're at the top of the heap, did you ever read about, and the answer is probably no, because few people probably did, but there's the Russian billionaire who has since been, because of the whole war, I'm not going to get into all that, but the one Russian billionaire who owned, I think it was Chelsea, Roman Abramovich or whatever his name might be, him and Paul Allen, the former co-founder of Microsoft, who used to own the Seattle Seahawks, passed away, obviously. Those two were in like this private billionaire battle to see who could have the most expensive, longest yacht in the world. Like, one of them would unveil this new yacht, and the other one would immediately start working on a new one. That would take years. And then the other one would try to counter that move. They just kept building bigger and bigger yachts. They kept going after it because they were in this war against one another. That's how billionaires do things. You and I aren't getting into that battle. You and I are going to try to figure out where can we go get lunch at a discount today. We're hungry. Maybe we can grind out an extra 10 minutes before we have to get back for meetings. That's how people like us think. Jerry's looking around the NFL saying, I don't care how many Super Bowls Kansas City wins. I'm worth more than you. I'm better than you. That's how he sees it. The football stuff is left to McCarthy and the players. If they can't get it done, it's not his fault.
In a lot of ways, Jerry, I'll give you ridiculous quotes. As long as you're talking about the Dallas Cowboys. That's all that matters, because that's all that's going to matter when it comes to me making more than everybody else. And at that age, like, why? You have already set up your family for literally at least 5 to 10 generations to come, right? Why wouldn't it be more important to actually go and win something at some point?
He already had one of the best dynasties the NFL's ever seen.
But like, he doesn't get the credit for it, and I thought for a while that's what was important to him. Has he just, you think he's just given up on that?
No. I think he just understands it's hard to win championships. But if you're not winning championships, you might as well be the richest, most badass franchise in the business, of which he is. Like, he's got that. He's not looking at this as a failure. He's a businessman. And first and foremost, his business is booming better than anybody else's business. The Dallas Cowboys get Thanksgiving every single year. The Dallas Cowboys get the 4 o'clock window every single weekend, unless they're in prime time. Dallas Cowboys sell more jerseys. Dallas Cowboys get more minutes on First Take. Like, he's winning. We sit here with this stupid scorecard of, you didn't have a very good draft. You think that matters to him? He's winning. His franchise is worth so much more than Philadelphia. He's already won that battle.
Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. We get the answers to some questions. How will this all go down in Phoenix now that the big three did not work in year one? And how exactly is it going to go down with Joel Embiid in Philadelphia? We find out next.